Today's podcast is titled Risk, and today we are going to have that conversation about risk, but John's going to be bringing it up from a different perspective. So, John, before we really switch perspectives here and educate our audience on really what risk you're talking about, let's talk about the standard forms of risk that most people attribute to the word risk.
Yeah, risk is typically, in our minds, is I invest in something and I lose money, correct? That's the typical conversation. So I put money in the market goes down. Risk of loss. Typically, when you're thinking about it, we focus on asset class risk. Am I in large cap, small cap, mid cap? Am I in a single stock concentration? I work for a large employer and all my job, my income, my retirement plans, all invested in the company. That's single stock risk, which has a lot of risk, okay? Could also be very, you know, wonderful also, because risk is really two sides of the coin. Risk could be fantastic because the stock goes up dramatically and you get a leveraging, or the stock could go down. And there's really no good way to answer whether or not your stock in your company is going to be that miracle stock that we all dream of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when we're looking at a financial plan, typically what people are focusing on is risk of loss, risk of the market going down. But I want to expand the conversation, okay? And the conversation about risk is, think about your family for a second. Think about your kids. Think about your parents. Think about your in-laws. Think about people that are in your world. And the risk in that is that somehow one of those family members is going to apply pressure to your wealth curve. It's either going to be in the form of time, or it's going to be a drain of money because they need money. But that's a huge risk when you start thinking about it. Is I had a conversation last week with somebody where they had lent a significant amount of money to their brother-in-law, and they kind of wrote it off. And it was a significant amount of money. So when you start thinking about it, the risk is not only am I going to lose the money, but I'm also going to lose the future value of what that money could be in my lifetime.
Mm.
So when you start to think about risk, the conversation has to be the family risk. And then inside the family, you know, you start thinking about if I become disabled, that's a risk. If I die prematurely, that's a risk. If I get sued, that's a risk. If I have a long-term care type of incident, that's a risk. Inflation is a risk. Rising taxes is a risk. Lowering taxes is not a risk because that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But rising taxes is a risk. Rising expenses is a risk. Market volatility, as we talked about earlier, is a risk. Job loss is a risk. Many, many, many people have floating or adjustable rate mortgages or credit cards and things like that that they're paying a current interest rate on. And as interest rates rise, those expenses are going up in the future. So most financial plans are very linear. Mm-hmm. It's everything's going to be the same. Everything's never going to change and everything's going to be the same. Well, if you start thinking about your plan from a risk perspective, if my tax rates are going up and my real estate taxes are going up and my mortgage interest expenses are going up and my credit card expenses are going up and the inflation on my other expenses are going up, is my income going up at the same rate as those other expenses? So the conversation of risk has to be expanded beyond a simple fluctuation of a stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't think a lot of people were trained to think about risk as if it's a calculated risk. That you hear this all the time. The longer you stay in the market, that risk is mitigated over time.
Okay.
Okay. So you happen to have the unfortunate set of circumstances with a birth date that makes you retire in 1999. And you've had one of the greatest, you know, investment runs in the history of risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 15 years, the market is basically sideways and down. It has two 50% downturns during that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
You now have all of your capital accumulated. So you had this nest egg that you were looking for, and then the market drops by 50%.
Mm.
That takes you back years and years and years. So risk, I like to think of risk as 1-year increments, that risk is not something that goes away over time. And a lot of strategies, what you see is the way people are spending their money and they're spending down their assets is that the risk is actually getting greater and greater and greater in the portfolio as they spend down their short-term assets. And somehow we have this belief that, well, because it's long-term, that it's going to be fine. Well, the reality is that I spend down my assets in retirement, which you see people doing, and I'm not saying that you should do that or not do that. I'm simply saying you see that happening with the intent that the longer term money is longer term and they could take that risk. And when the reality is you could go through a series of time and that longer term money, because it's the long term money, has it down 50% and I'm in a withdrawal mode on it. Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to focus on is that when you look at a financial plan, your individual risk is different than anybody else's, different than your neighbor. So you have your family risk, you have your income, job risk, you have tax risk, you have your ability to save money, which is could be at risk from all of these categories. You have changing interest rates, changing costs. When you think about life insurance products, you buy a low-cost term insurance policy and it's level for 10 years or 15 or 20 years, and you get to the end of, let's say, the 20 years and your premium's $1,000 for $1 million of coverage, and now it's now a yearly renewable term and that premium jumps from $1,000 to $10,000.
Right, right.
Okay, that's a risk. Am I going to be able to pee in the cup and pass another exam? If I can't, I'm now stuck in this yearly increasing term policy. So what we want to look at is, as you go through this, you're looking at the family risk, you're looking at the income risk, you're looking at your taxes and deferral risk, how much money is deferred. Like, for example, if you have a deferred comp and you have IRAs and you have other deferred assets, if I'm deferring at one bracket today and that bracket stays the same over time, I really didn't gain much, right? Mm-hmm. If the tax brackets go down, I'm a huge winner. But if the tax bracket goes up, all the dollars that I deferred, like in 1986, the tax law, I believe, went from 50% down to 28%. That was the top marginal bracket in those years. They played games with deductions and things like that. But in theory, if I was deferring money in 1986 and 87 at 28% top bracket, today's top bracket is 39.6. So the sole purpose of deferrals, defer from a high bracket to a low bracket.
That makes sense.
When you go the other way, the risk is that the tax brackets are creeping.
Right. There has to be ways. Is it from a planning perspective or is it from a help me understand and help our listeners understand a little bit more? I mean, the risks that you're talking about seem to be unattainable risk, right? They're just things that you have no control over. But I'm assuming that you're going to say that there are ways to mitigate that risk to make it so that people can be a little bit happier and be a little bit more secure. Or am I off?
No, you're not off, because it's strategy, right? So when we look at a financial strategy, we're in essence building a timeline. And if you visualize for a second your current age, I'm going to be 50 in April. And if I look at my timeline, I say I'm going to go from 50 to 100 plus or minus. And all of these events that I'm planning that I want to have happen, such as kids going to college, etc., those are things that I'm hoping are going to happen. I'm going to accumulate wealth. I'm going to retire. I'm going to go on a vacation, whatever it is, right? And then what are the things that are – what risk can I transfer from myself to somebody else? Okay, so for example, the old lawsuit conversation is if I'm driving the car and I happen to run a red light and I was texting, drinking coffee and posting on my social media at the same time, and I ran you over because I didn't see you, what are you going to do? Let's say you're alive, but you can't do your podcasts.
I'm going to sue the heck out of you is what I'm
going to sue. And what are you going to sue me for? You're going to take your earnings. You're going to multiply it by time versus your potential versus your contribution. And let's say you win for $3 million. And I look at my insurance and my car insurance covers me for $100,000, $300,000 liability, which means if I'm in an accident with one person, the insurance company's on the hook for $100,000. If I'm in an accident with two or more people, I'm on the hook. They're on the hook for $300,000. Well, you and I are in an accident. You're suing me for $3 million, and my car insurance is only covering me for $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think about the disruption to the financial plan at this moment, if you're going to sue me for $3 million and my insurance company is only paying me for 100, all my assets are going, potentially lean against my income. I mean, I'm destitute at this point.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So a simple risk transfer is to basically turn around, go to an insurance company and say, I'd like to get what's called an umbrella liability policy, which blankets over the house, blankets over the cars. And for $275 a year, I can have $1 million umbrella liability. So now the strategy is, how can I reduce my premiums on everything else that I have, but now get a $2 or $3 million umbrella? So in that same accident, the insurance company is now on the hook for $3 million as opposed to $100,000.
Right.
So this is what I'm talking about, which is, how to identify what the risk is. There's lawsuit risk, disability risk, life insurance, long-term care, estate tax risk, income tax risk. What is going on in your plan right now? And what are the things that we can transfer the risk from ourselves to a third party? And with the mindset is that when I'm building a plan, what I want is, I want every financial strategy, and this is a strategy. This is not, you know, this is not about a product. This is not a, and this is what drives me nuts, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, is everybody selling some sort of product to be the miracle solution to their problems.
Right.
It's not. It's a bunch of products coming together to form a strategy and a solution to your unique problems. But it has to do this, right? Has to grow your wealth over time. It's got to reduce your taxes, reduce all these risks, and these risks are everything that we're talking about here, provide more protection, have you have more money in retirement, and pass more to your family. So if I'm going to go out and just buy a bunch of insurance and not have any money going into savings, that looks good right now. But when I get to retirement, that was really a bad idea if I didn't get sued.
Right.
So there's got to be balance. And there has to be this, is how do we reduce costs, take those costs that we're reducing and fix other things, transfer risk to an insurance company, transfer risk, you know, increase my cash position so where I reduce my risk, take a diversified portfolio. And you see this, there's a study out there that's called the DALBAR study, D-A-L-B-A-R. I'm sure people have discussed this or heard this. But what DALBAR does is they look at how people that are invested in funds over periods of time in certain markets, how do they do relative to the index and how do they do relative to the fund?
Mm-hmm.
And what's really unique is because we always want to have the best going on in our plan, the rates of return are dramatically different for those people that stay versus those people that leave. And the amount of return that's lost relative to the benchmark is like 75% of that return over time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a risk, is that the risk is that you're constantly trying to have a product solve the problem as opposed to a strategy of bringing together multiple things to reduce risk. And risk is, you know, when I bring together a strategy to reduce risk, how do we minimize the tax impact and that changing tax? How do we minimize the interest rate? You know, we've been saying for 10 years, interest rates are going to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been wrong. I've been wrong for 10 years.
Hmm.
They're going to rise. How am I prepared for that? And what percentage of my income is that going to affect? If I have a very large mortgage, I want to make sure that I get this thing locked down for the long term. You know, my lifestyle risk, my asset risk, my, you know, the basic things. And you want to develop a strategy that's going to reduce those costs. And basically, we joke that the financial institutions basically have five key rules that if they're successful and they follow them, they're going to be very successful. And this is what they are, right? Every bit of marketing that a financial institution does wants to make the client feel comfortable. We have high rates of return. We are strong. We're secure. We're the best, whatever it is, right? Once you're comfortable, they want to get a systematic flow of money coming into the financial institution because they have salaries and rents and heating and lights and all this stuff that they have to pay for. Once they do it, they want to hang on to the money as long as they possibly can. So the longer it goes, right, the more fees and things that we're going to make, the financial institutions. Once you get to retirement, they want to dribble as little back to you as you possibly can so you don't run out of money in retirement. And the fifth one is, let me transfer as much risk away from the financial institution to the person that's there.
Right.
The fees can change. This can change. That can change. Everything can change. The more I can transfer to the away from ourselves to the consumer, the better off the people are. And those rules are universal. And we need to understand what those rules are and how do we minimize the impact of the risks that are in the plan. And the ultimate goal is you can't solve every risk, but you can solve a lot of risks. And the idea is how bad it, what are your risks? And that's what that wealth curve pressure identifier form that I have on the website to download on smallwoodassociates.com is it starts to, you kind of walk through, you start talking about your family and you kind of identify some of the risks or some of the positives. You might be inheriting money. Well, if I'm inheriting money, there's a risk to that. Am I going to expose it to my creditors at a bad time? What's my income risk? What's my taxes? What's my savings rate? You know, if I'm not saving enough, that's a risk, as we talked about on one of the previous podcasts. My debt structure, if that's too much, that's a risk. My lifestyle, if that's too much, that's a risk. How my assets are allocated, which is the traditional asset allocation conversation of asset class investing, et cetera. That's really important. My future outflow. So I joke about this. I have two kids in college. And I, when my 13-year-old daughter was born, I updated the college plan. And we projected that my oldest son, who is a senior in college at the moment, that private institution that he got himself into would be in a neighborhood of about $55,000. It's $68,000. Number two, we predicted it was going to be about $56,000, $57,000. Well, he's in a $72,000 a year school when you add the whole thing up. So the risk is every variable's changing, and you have to go through and see if I miscalculate that a little bit, what does it do to my retirement plan?
Sure.
And if I, you know, and you have to go through and reassess these things. So part of the form is to identify all the variables that are going on in your plan, and then do you have a solution to protect them? And that's kind of, that's the theory, is identify what your risks are. Risk is not limited to, you know, market risk, but it's many, many factors, inflation, planned obsolescence, technological change, you know, all these things are coming at us. Like, even think about it, 1980, mid-80s, you could get a double-digit CD, right? Certificate of deposit.
I remember double digits, that.
11, 12, 13, 14%. Yeah. And you retire. You say, I'm going to put all my money in there, my $1 million at 11%. It's $110,000 a year. Perfect plan. How
well,
you
yeah, but they don't exist anymore. I mean, you're getting 2% now. That's a 10% swing.
Even if you're lucky, right?
Yeah,
so, so risk is not limited to, you know, that is a form of, that's interest rate risk, right? But that's not market risk because you didn't lose any money. You just lost purchasing power.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I think is really important also is people are living longer than they've ever lived.
Yep.
You have this thing called longevity risk. If I, a lot of plans are built to run out of money by age 85. Well, what if I live to 105?
You'd be a really old Walmart greeter.
Really old Walmart greeter.
Yeah.
So that's when we're thinking about risk, you need to open up your mind, expand the conversation beyond just market volatility and really assess what your risks are. And I think if you do that on a regular basis and you have some sort of methodology to come back and update and review where your risks are, because they're constantly changing.
Yes.
They're not static. And I think that's the thing that you want to keep coming back and making sure that you've thought about everything and that your advisors have offered solutions to mitigate that risk.
Right. Well, I love the fact that, first off, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to look at risk in a different way and also to support once again how important it is to not only just have a plan, but have an advisor who understands that things change and that you should be changing with the situations in your life that change too, which means that you have to meet with your advisor often. A real advisor wants to meet with you regularly. Somebody who's just selling you something is going to sell and then hopefully never talk to you again, because then the probability of you not paying them is even greater. So, John, thank you very much for your thought leadership today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Risk, a real look at what risk is and how it affects you. And if you have not subscribed yet to the podcast, please make sure that you click the subscribe now button below. That way, every time John comes up with a new podcast, it will go immediately to your listening device. Thank you all very much and have a wonderful day.
Welcome to the end of the video. Smallwood Wealth Management is an investment advisor representative. The opinions expressed by Smallwood Wealth Management and guests on this show are their own. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented for this educational purposes only. Moreover, no listener should assume that any discussions or information presented serves as a receipt of or substitute for personalized advice from Smallwood Wealth Management or from any other investment professional and is not intended as an offer of solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Smallwood Wealth Management is not a law firm or an accounting firm, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as a recommendation appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Thank you for listening.